Welcome back to DMTB for a very special episode where we have a very special guest. You may remember him, Joe Corr. He was on our Irish episode a few months back. We chat to Joe, or I chat to Joe. Rory is sadly not as invested in the show as he really should be, but he will be back for season three. So I've taken the time to have a chat to Joe, all things travel, a little bit about his life and our rocky and turbulent friendship for the last 15, 20 years. I hope you enjoy the episode.
I'm Rory Kerr.
And I'm Mark Fay.
This is the podcast where two tour guides reflect on 15 years of travel to seven continents and over 120 countries. Each episode, we'll be focusing on a country from both a tour guide and a backpacker's perspective. We are no experts, but our hilarious and often bizarre stories will keep you informed on the do's, the don'ts, and the hidden melons that will surely get you excited for your next big adventure.
Okay, here we are. We're back. DMTB is back, baby. It's back bigger than ever.
Oh, wow. Can I say something?
Please.
All aboard. Rum, 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 rum. That's the engine starting on the bus. The I engine. Would not miss it for the world. I'm the king of the world.
The engine is starting, Joe. And look, I probably should probably introduce you. And you may be wondering why on earth you are actually even invited to this particular chat today.
I was not wondering that. I know why I'm here.
Yeah, please enlighten our viewers, because DMTB has taken a little sabbatical, Joe, and it only has come back for this very special episode for a very special person. So explain to me why you think you are back.
Well, first of all, I think the DMTB may have taken a sabbatical just because of the tsunami of listeners that it was inundated with. But I think I've come back because I'm relatively well-traveled, and I'd like to think I have presented well on this podcast in the past.
Yep. So, Joe, just for the listeners that may recognize you, we have, you know, obviously a rather large following. We have some very keen ears that would recognize your voice. But if you could just inform the listeners as to where they may recognize your whiny voice from.
Mark, it would be my esteemed pleasure. I featured on, I think it's still to this day, the highest rating episode of DMTB, the Irish episode about Ireland. And it was both informative and stimulating. We laughed. We laughed through our tears of joy.
We did. And Joe, you also have some sort of extra sort of input with the show. I mean, they may remember from the Irish episode, if you could just inform the listeners again, the input you've had to season two, which has been a remarkably successful season, largely thanks to you.
Jeez, you know what? My face is a bright crimson. I am as red as a rose. I made the sound effects for DMTB, Fast Five, Ride the Bus quiz, a number of... So that's my voice being slightly altered in post. So people
that,
enjoy
that. That is true. And it has been rather successful. And Joe, just out of curiosity, because there has been 12 episodes for season two, you're obviously one of our biggest fans and one of our largest contributors to S2.
I cannot DMTB. Stop listening. Yep. I cannot stop listening. It's actually an issue where I have my headphones in constantly. Your voice, Rory's voice, just pumped into my skull. My skull vibrates at a low frequency to the register of both of your voices. I listen to it that much. But sorry,
you're saying. No, that's fantastic. I was going to ask you, Joe, how many episodes you've listened to, but by the sounds of it, is that every episode you have listened to? Or
I have listened to absolutely every episode from its very tippy start to its very tippy end.
Joe, we're going to cut straight into it because you're maybe a little bit surprised why you're here. I'm also surprised as to why you're here. So before we even actually even get into that, I am going to steal something from your podcast show with a rival friend of ours. Joe, compliment time. One compliment for each other. We get excited. We compliment the other person. Puts us in a good step. Joe, I would like you to first of all start by giving me any compliment of your choice.
This is great because I love it this way. I think people can't see it at home, but we're doing this over Zoom and videos on, and I can actually see you've plucked out a shirt that's a sort of, it's a magenta, if you must know. It's sort of a reddish color. And I think it is so brave of you to do that because obviously the contrasting red and then sort of you've got quite a fair complexion. So you've got sort of reddish to your face. So it's actually exaggerating that, making that look worse. But the courage to wear that kind of color, I really commend you on that. So compliments.
No, thanks very much. Yeah, I
and a bit of beard rash as well. It's bringing that out well. So it's just the courage it's taken you to do this. Wow.
Are you referring to the herpes spot on my left part of my neck?
I think it might be staph, but let's move on.
Yeah, yeah. It's been there for quite some time. Seeing the doctor next week about that.
Topical creams. I can get that done.
Joe, I'd love to give you a compliment straight off the bat. I've given you this compliment several times, so I'm going to give it again for the DMTB audience to hear too. Joe, there has never been anybody I've met in my life that is so well at putting on a persona that is not them and to fit in like as you would say, a chameleon. And what I mean by that, I have never met a faker person in my life that could pretend that he's a part of the royal family in a Prince Harry banquet meal at Buckingham Palace. So for that, Joe, your fakeness and your ability to just fit in when not many people particularly want you there in the first place, I commend you.
Well, you know what? I appreciate that. And I have dined with the royal family. Prince Andrew and I had a hot dog at a children's 10th birthday party. That was great. So I have weaseled my way into that. So,
okay, not the time. Joe, listen, I just want to cut to the chase with a few questions because, Joe, firstly, this is a travel show, so it would be remiss not to speak about travel. Joe, if you wouldn't mind just enlightening the listeners on a little bit about your travel experience, and if you do have one particular story that may stand out that may pique the interest for the listeners, please tell us.
Sure. I've traveled relatively extensively, I like to think. I've also traveled with work, which I think is important, but I've done Ireland and the UK and most of Europe. Most of Europe I did as a visitor, not as working. Certainly Ireland, I worked there, and the UK did a slight bit of work there. I've also been to the United States, only the major stops, unfortunately. A tiny little bit of Canada. Obviously, I've traveled pretty extensively in my home country of Australia. Never been to New Zealand, which is embarrassing. But that's on the cards in the future. And as far as a travel story, I'm going to go with the first time I saw the Statue of Liberty, which was from a great distance. I didn't actually go to the island. They were charging a certain amount. I felt it was over the top. I could see the statue. I didn't need to see it any closer. And I saw the statue, and it was an amazing juxtaposition because there was the Statue of Liberty, this beacon of freedom and hope and beauty. And then I panned down, or tilted down, and on the sidewalk, in the gutter, it was a dead rat that was probably the size of a large house cat. And the two images, one of Lady Liberty with her beacon shining brightly, holding it up, and then this rodent that had succumbed to what looked like something pretty painful.
Joe, great. That is great. And when you looked up at the statue, just out of curiosity, Statue of Liberty, attractive? You find a remotely sort of, is there a bit of, you know, about the Statue of Liberty? Because I have heard you speak about her in length in over the time that I've known you, 10, 15 sure. plus years. Could be 20 years. I actually don't know Absolutely. How long we've known each other. But is there some sort of attraction? Because you do speak about the Statue of Liberty. Fair bit.
I do think she's... But the thing, when I looked up at the Statue of Liberty, I was looking actually up the toga. So I couldn't actually see... No, I think she's very pretty. Sharp nose, nice cheekbones, jawline, everything's good. No, Lady Liberty, big fan. Just a quick question, though. You're a travel guide, you should know these things. Who wrote the poem at the base of the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah, that would be Charles Dickens IV, and everybody knows that one. Joe, quick one for you. Traveling. You have done a good amount of it. You lived in Ireland, you traveled around Europe, you've been to the States, as you said. I'm not sure why you said it's embarrassing you haven't been to New Zealand. I think you were panicking. You felt you needed to say something about another country and you just threw that one in the end. But that's fine. You are nervous and that's obvious for the listeners to hear. But what I do want to ask you, Joe, is what would you say? Because when you came over, especially to Europe, you came on a limb. You didn't tell anybody. You just left. And you lived there for a couple of years in Ireland. And and you were messaging me a fair bit about the protocols of sort of, you know, hostels, how you sleep, where you sleep, when do you go to the bathroom, when do you switch lights on, all this sort of stuff. Joe, what would you say were the top two most challenging things that came your way whilst you were traveling overseas? What were the two things that stood out the most?
Number one, hostel etiquette. You got to treat it like a prison. You got to walk in. You got to identify the strongest. You got to take him or her down. Stare them down like a bear. Hold your ground. That's number one. No, hostel etiquette. You got to learn how to share rooms with, you know, 8 or 12 people.
Yep.
And that takes, that's a challenge. You got to learn your little, maybe a headphone routine. You got to learn.
I like that. Joe, and I'm going to interrupt you there. Headphones are a quintessential when you're in a hostel. Yep. If you put headphones on, that is a universal symbol for do not speak to me. I do not want to be talked to. I want to be left alone, even with six or eight people in the room. So headphones, quintessential. Continue. Yeah,
and an absolute must travel item for sure. Yep. So you got to find out your little sleep routine, because a lot of the times it's not going to be pleasant. Or even if it is pleasant, it's going to be in a strange surrounds. You got to know what you're doing. So that's number one. As far as other challenging, I never found getting around very challenging because I never had anywhere to be. You know, it wasn't like, oh, I've got to be at a meeting at 4 o'clock. So travel wasn't for me. What was a travel? I mean, meeting women, certainly travel. what else?
You're a naughty devil, Joe.
Keeping costs down. Keeping costs down.
I was thinking you were going quite swimmingly without mentioning women, but you are a little cheeky devil. Have you found romance in your travels?
On every continent. Every country, not so much, but every continent.
Do you know what? Our listeners do want to know this, because hostels are a thing which many people haven't stayed in. It's a quintessential as you are backpacking. It's a cheap way to go from A to B. You can stay in hostels in India for $3, Europe for, you know, $15-$20 and upwards, depending on the quality of the hostel. Joe, have you heard or have you been involved in any hanky panky? Yeah. Whilst you're in the hostel. Cause some might think that, where would you go if you were to find a bit of romance, which is the topic we are speaking of now?
Listen, Mark, I think that when one stays in a hostel, one must embrace the communal attitude that prevails throughout the place. And I'm lucky that I traveled at a time when phones and video phones were in their infancy. And I'm going to leave it at that.
You recorded people?
No, never. Never. I'm just glad
you know that's
illegal.
you're sick,
I
man.
Didn't eat. I traveled without a smartphone, so whatever.
Joe, since I have known you, all that you require in your repertoire of assets whilst you move from point A to point B, one, a toothbrush. Okay. Two, toothpaste. And three, bingo. And the third item, along with obviously clean underwear, is a book.
You've missed one though. The thing I require the most.
If you talk about my mother as a travel partner, this episode is over.
Well, she falls under this category, but good company. It's all one really needs.
That's lovely. That is lovely. And Joe, listen, has there been some things that have been very easy about travel? What would you say, since you've been traveling and, you know, you've still done a fair bit of it. You are doing it even whilst you are living currently in Sydney, a lot of commuting from A to B. You go on holidays when you can, you travel back to Perth, you go, you know, you've obviously been around parts of the world. What was the easy part about traveling in this day and age? Because things have changed. And I think travel has got a lot easier. So what would you say are the two top things that you found easiest for travel?
I mean, booking flights, go to an airline, you go to a one of those like Trivago or Skyscanner, you get a flight and you go, oh, that's a flight to London to Rome. And then you see, oh, it's with Italian Airways. And then you just go to their website direct and you just book it. That used to go through a travel agent. Now those websites are great. So that's number one that's improved. But also, I don't know if this is an answer to the question, but certainly in conversation now, if you're willing to be, I think the main thing that I found easy or that's getting easier is just be the assertive person in a conversation. If you want to speak to someone, male or female, for directions, for whatever, for the chats, just be a nice, loud, clear voice, say what you got to say. And people normally, I think because they're so insulated, when you kind of say, hey, how you doing? Nice and loud. They often go, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, they're engaged, they're involved in it. People are now looking for social interaction. So I'd say that's become easier.
Yeah, I agree. And it's I do like how you talk about the flights. You know, you book it on these little these websites and say, hey, this is the cheapest flight. And they give you about 50 different options. Joe, you can get a flight, as you would know, if you were to go from Ireland, where you were living, to England, $20, $30.
Maybe less if you do it right, if you know someone, absolutely.
Okay. You don't particularly know that many people. You have burnt that many bridges.
I know you.
You do know me. Joe, would you say, let me ask you this, over, this stage of our life, we have had our ups and holy dooly, we've had our downs.
Yep.
Right now, where would you say the strength of our friendship is? I mean, listen, invited you as a special guest on DMTV. I want you to give it a rating. If you were to say 10, we are tight as chum buddies, or one as we are just drifting to the bottom of the Atlantic by that 1911 HMS Titanic. Where are we sitting, you and I, right now?
We are sitting in the creamy middle. We're at a 6.5.
6.5. That's fair. I'll take that. I will raise you an extra point to 7.5, because these kind of things, chatting about, our travel stories, chatting about things we've done on DMTB, bring it up a little extra notch.
Oh, at episode's end, it may be 8, just saying.
Yep. No, that's good. Joe, I have a couple more questions for you, then I'm going to let you go, because I know you're a busy man. You've got plenty to see, plenty to do. Joe, I want to ask you something about you were a different man prior to going overseas. And what I mean by that... What I mean by that is you have certainly changed two key aspects about yourself. Number one, you have changed the physical look of the clothes that you wear. So I would remember coming to your place and watching you have like a headset around your head with a controller in your hand playing Zelda or the Clash of the Titans 2.0 on PlayStation 3, whatever. Generally wearing a LA Lakers t-shirt, usually brown, with some pajama bottoms and white socks to match some shoes. So you have gone from that look, whilst also smelling relatively average, to going overseas, wearing a nice button-up white t-shirt, hair slicked across, brown nice shoes with black socks and some nice pants to match. And I've noticed that change in you. And I've also noticed, Joe, that you went from being relatively pathetic, obsolete, was scared to even remotely go near a woman, to having a bit of confidence, and to the point you call women sweetheart now, and you tell them what's happening and where things are going. And it shows confidence, which women like. So, Joe, I'd like to know how travel made you change from being a pathetic loser to somebody a little less pathetic?
It's a great question. I'm glad you would ask it. I actually can't take full credit. I had a helping hand in this. An older woman took me by the hand, took me under her wing. So if I could just take a moment to speak to her. Val, love you, doll.
So the people that don't know who Val is... You keep my mother's name out of this. I might have to bleep that out because I
keep that's my mother's name out your Joe. Mouth.
Yep. Joe, you're banned from using the V word. Okay.
Sorry, I lost my V plates.
Speaking of V, that's the first time I think you achieved that when you went overseas at the age of 27 and a half years of age, you pathetic loser. Okay, sorry, I interrupted. Absurd.
That is just absolutely. This is not fit for publication. That is absurd. But, the point stands. No, traveling illuminates a lot and many, and I was one of many.
Yep. Maybe the worst answer I could have got from that. You know, it's okay. You're aging and you're forgetting things, and it's all good. Joe, look, we're going to wrap this up with just, a quick little fast one for you. Joe, best country you visited in the world?
Oh, as far as culture, I'm going to go Spain.
Yep. You love stayed it. With me in Spain as well, didn't you? You stayed with me for, you well exceeded your mm-hmm. invite time mm-hmm. from what was meant to be a couple of days to a few weeks, I think it was.
10 or so days, yep.
You actually made up for it though. If you remember, I had a housemate. It was very shy. I hope she's listening. Yeah, we love Karina. Lovely, lovely German. Absolutely molto bene. That's Italian.
Guten Tag, Herr Fräulein.
Mein Name ist Mark. No, great girl. And Joe, what you did was you charmed the socks of Karina. And you know what you did, which I will never forget. You know where I'm going with this.
Lederhosen, Mark. Not socks.
Joe, you actively noticed, you noticed that our apartment was missing something. You actively went out to the shops one afternoon where I was at Spanish school and you were free just being your usual pathetic self. And you went out and you bought a couple of souvenirs.
Anal beads. Oh, sorry, what?
I'm gonna have to bleep that out. You know what, don't take this show down to your level, please. Okay, it's a classy show, classy people. Joe, you went out and bought a few little nice little souvenir-y things, you know, some flowers, you know, some little you know, ornaments around the house. But I will never forget the one thing and the best addition you added to that house, and to this day everywhere I move I add one of these to my house, is a fruit bowl. The power of a bloody fruit bowl, man. I commend you.
If I can speak to people out there, it's something that always has a place in a home. Mm-hmm. And also, you can if you buy it and you're like, oh, they actually have one already, you can always have two.
Yeah.
They're very decorative, not expensive, just by the by. That one cost me maybe €3.
It did.
And it just, your money stretches far with a fruit bowl. Mm. And yet you're providing fruit. Like, it's like you're a Greek god or something.
It's a win-win. Like €3 worth of money out of your pocket, but three stars of happiness in mine and Karina's eyes. Joe, I want to ask you, what was the one thing when you have been, or since you have been traveling, and maybe specifically to Europe, because it is a little bit different to the rest of the world. What was the one thing you noticed that stood out the most that was different to, say, you know, a very Western country like Australia?
Sure. I mean, Spain and Europe in particular, I think just the willingness to turn the television off in the evening and head out for food or a walk or whatever. I just found, because the homes, and bless people in Europe, I don't think the homes are smaller. The homes are perhaps certainly not as modern, not as nice, if you want to use that term. And so people were out in the street a bit more. Things had a vibe, even on the weekdays, whereas Australia can feel very hollow Monday through Thursday.
Yep. No, that's fair. Joe, what was the worst country or place that you have visited and why?
Oh, well, I enjoyed all my stops, Smart, but I'd have to say Heathrow Airport was well uninviting. I was treated less than nothing. Yep. Oi, you asleep on Terminal 4? Wake up, get out of here.
You know what? I'm a big fan of Heathrow Airport because one of my favorite movies, Love Actually, not sure if you have seen it or experienced it anybody towards you. I'm joking, Joe.
It's a delightful story, that one. It's great. Really warms the cockles of my heart.
Yeah, it does. Joe, whilst we're on accents, most irritating accents.
Oh, wow. Irritating? Honestly, Australia can get to me over time, but if I'm going for one outside of my circle, Polish, yeah. So Eastern Europeans can say, bless their hearts, lovely people, but they can get, that's more German, but they can get annoying.
Okay, you're panicking with these answers and your comedy's slipping a tiny bit. Like, because you have a few things going for you. One of them is comedy, and you need to keep that bar rolled, mate. Keep it up there because you're slipping. Last couple, Joe. If you were to say tomorrow, you could be fluent in any language in the world. So meaning you could migrate to that country, get a job, you know, fit in, because obviously it's very challenging if you don't speak the language and all of that sort of stuff. This could be a country, Joe, you have never been to, but think, you know, you would assimilate with that country the most. What would that country be and why?
Wow, this is an amazing question. I mean, the answer to the language I would choose is Spanish, because then you've got not just Spain itself, but all of South America. You've got more options. Okay. But as far as...
Can I just interrupt for a minute? So I can speak a little bit of Spanish. Not great, but I can speak a little bit of Spanish. Joe, do you recall when we...
Yeah.
Necesito practicar mi español, pero no las personas aquí hablan español. Solo inglés. So, Joe, I got a question for you. Or if you remember this, you and I would go to the supermarket. It was a bit of a highlight when you were staying with me in Spain.
Loved it.
Yeah. We would go and we'd go to the butcher and we would order some sliced ham and some other things to, you know, cook for dinner.
I'd say, ¿por qué es amargo la mala, mi amigo? And he'd go, what?
No, see, this is the thing. You would panic You would panic.
Yeah,
you panic. Would yep. say, and you'd use your little your hands as much as possible to order.
Yep.
And you would look for me for guidance to assist you. And, you know, I could offer what I could. But you would always bring a little bit of confidence towards the end of the transaction when that person, the butcher, would hand over the food. I would hear the most ochre, revolting.
That's untrue. No, I'm going to stop you. I'm
actually, I'm sorry.
I'm interrupting. La 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 la. I was good. I was good. I have good pronunciation. You've hurt me now. You've barbed me with this.
Did you say pronunciation?
Por qué, Mark? You're a troublemaker.
So no, that's fair. No, and you listen. You'd give a really good at the end of every thank you. It would be gracias.
Oh, it's just no. People at home, this is an assassination. I say gracias, mi amigo, and I'm good. And I'm hurt that you'd have to stoop to this level.
No, Mark, Joe, really. I apologize. Can you just what you need to stop using my full name in these contexts? Because there are some people that want hidden identity. Maybe I do. Maybe I'm just Mark from the DMTB bus. So.
The only people who wish to remain hidden live in shame.
Okay. All right, Joe. And last one for you. If you were to be able to change one thing about travel, either make it easier or make it a bit more accessible somehow, or you were to just make travel better,
yeah,
what would you do?
This is a tough one, and this is a serious answer now, and I don't want it to come across the wrong way, but when you land, I'd like to see a unhomogenization of the major cities. And what I mean by that is if you go to a Sydney, if you go to a London, if you go to, hell, Barcelona, if you go to these places, often the major cities have been, you'll see a McDonald's, you'll see a common thread between them. And it's a little bit sad when you want to go somewhere foreign, you want to go somewhere different, and you land and instead of seeing the exotic, you see the familiar. And that is a wee bit of a drag. Once you get out of those major ports, you return to exotic, but there is those little pops and punctuations of the familiar. And sometimes it can be, oh, this is not the experience I signed up for. So that's your question. I'd love to see, and you have to search for it to go to the, you have to actually go a little bit further than you normally would. I'd love to see a sense of the exotic return to those major stops. And that's just me.
Okay. Well answered, Joe. I think every single person that was listening to your last point either was lost by what you were eventually trying to get to with that point, or basically fell asleep with boredom. But thank you for giving an input. I appreciate that.
I think people with an intellect just maybe year three and above, anyone below that, I'm not going to name any names, but people above that would think that was both a poetic answer, a thoughtful answer. And I think a lot of them would now feel closer to me. I mean, adoration is a strong word, but they'd certainly be admiring of the answer and me as an extension.
Joe, do you have an issue with my dialogue? Is there something? Because I feel this has been an ongoing theme for quite some time.
Sure.
And let's address it right here on the air.
Let's do it. I'm active on TikTok. So I don't know if you like TikTok. I love TikTok. And there's actually a gentleman on TikTok whom I follow. And you wouldn't know when to use who or whom, but that's fine. And there's a guy on TikTok, and his videos are basically that he goes, here are some simple words in English. Like, let's say, now I've caught myself out, but he'll have simple words like, oh, wow, this is not, this is all.
Are you pausing?
Yeah, I'm
are
really you, struggling. I'm really
wow.
struggling.
See, this is the thing with John.
Like, he'll go, he'll have a word like an easy word like cheating, and then he'll say the more advanced word might be scandalous. And he'll teach you how to improve your vocabulary. And although I'm watching it, I feel like he is speaking directly to you.
Okay.
And no, that's fair. Put you in touch with this account.
Yeah. No, that's look, Joe. Look, it took you a while to get that out. No, it's fine. Look, you're a twin. I feel, you know, you only really have 50% off, you know, the full capacity which you would have had if you were born as a
but also my mother was very young when she had me, whereas your mother was what they call a geriatric pregnancy, which can also leak the value of the uterus and fetus. So it's a toss-up between you and me who's got the better stuff.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Joe, and the absolute final thing I want to just kind of conclude this show with, and Joe, I do want to say thank you for joining us on the DMTB, you know, special episode. You've been a driving force in the success of DMTB.
Pardon the pun.
Season 2 on. Yep, pardon the pun. And we appreciate everything you've done. We appreciate all your help. We appreciate you being around. You're a great role model for people out there that potentially want to get out traveling and improving their dialogue, as some of your wonderful poetic gestures in this interview. But Joe, I do want to ask one last question to finish it off. How has your experience and your life been advanced and, you know, improved since DMTB has come into your life?
DMTB.
What has DMTB brought to you, Joe, that's changed? Because you know, DMTB is a couple of years now. Before DMTB, you were a little bit different. I want to know how DMTB has changed you.
The big one for me was when I listened to the episode on South Africa, which was the first episode you did, and I think maybe the last one I actually listened to. Kidding, of course. But I loved it because you guys talked about bungee jumping. Mm-hmm. And just the talk, you and Rory, who I feel I may have replaced at this point, but nonetheless, you and Rory were talking, and the way you spoke about the fear and overcoming that fear and jumping off that massive gorge in South Africa that I have regretfully forgotten the name of, I was filled with the sense of, I'm going to either go skydiving or bungee jumping. I wanted to do it. So I guess that I was inspired is the answer.
You're panicking. You're trying to think of good answers, and you just
That was an amazing answer.
To be fair, Joe, I have given, and for the listeners that don't know this, every single question I've thrown at Joe today has been unscripted, unprepared, and I think you've done pretty well. You've panicked a few times this last bit, you know, relatively panic stations for setting in. But for the most part, Joe, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a part of the DMTB team, and we look forward to seeing you in season 3.
One last word. I just want to say that, listen, death comes for us all. So why shouldn't we bring everything we have to this moment? Mark, thank you for having me on the podcast. This thing's a hit. Okay. This thing's going to the top. Get on the bus at the bottom of the mountain because it's going to the top, the summit. And I'm going to be there waiting for you. Pleasure. Thanks again.
Wowee, Rory. That is definitely our best episode yet. If you enjoy that episode, please subscribe to Don't Miss the Bus on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcast from, so you never miss an episode. And please follow us and like us on Facebook and on Instagram. And we're also on Patreon too. Please also don't forget to rate, review, and tell all of your friends so they can also jump on the magical school bus of the Don't Miss the Bus podcast. Happy travels.